It's great to have Andy and Katie back in the gathering. Mr. and Mrs. Slater, welcome back. Fantastic. It's good to have you back. It's good to celebrate with Chris and Helena, 12 years today. Is that right? Woo! Awesome. It's so good when we get to celebrate wedding anniversaries by being in church all day. It's good. And pray for Andy and Teresa, Andrew and Teresa Montgomery, as they are now, who got married here yesterday. So they're part of one of the Tuesday communities as well. So do be praying for them. It was a privilege to be a part of their wedding yesterday. Tonight, what are we going to look at? What time are we on? Great. Okay. Brilliant. Fab. Good. Chris left us with a question last week. He left us with a question. In fact, the whole evening was really a long, big question, which was a really good, long, big question to ask. And the question was really, why do we blend in when we're called to stand out? Why do we blend in when we're called to stand out? And we're in a series looking at the Holy Spirit. And we've journeyed through how the Holy Spirit fits with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we looked at Pentecost. And then we've been in this series looking at what are the values, what flows out of Pentecost. And we've looked at three things, or we're looking at three things: community, gifts, and power. And I was left last week pondering the question, that very question. But it caused me to ask a second question. And as we talked about it during the week, it kind of became a talk along the way. But my question was really, if we're called to stand out, what does it mean to stand out? What does that look like? Is what we think standing out, is that what actually God means by standing out? Is it going to be the same for each of us? And so what I want to do tonight is just to spend a little bit of time thinking about a passage from Ephesians, what it might help us to understand about how God might have made us to stand out, and then how we see that through Acts being worked out as a consequence of the Holy Spirit coming and Pentecost and the church working out how it operated. So that's what we want to do tonight. As Catherine comes to read this passage to us, let's remember the context. So it may be a passage that's familiar. It may be a passage that some of the words and some of the names of some of the gifts that God has given is familiar. But sometimes we think about them in the context of Sunday church. But remember, this has been written to a group of people, a group of churches. It's Ephesus, so it's a group of churches who are kind of figuring out what it means to be church all of the time, not just once a week. They're trying to figure out what it looks like to be God's body on earth now that Jesus has gone, full of the Holy Spirit, working it out. So listen to this as we think through that lens. And remember, as I was thinking about this, I'm just going to jump back slightly because I was reminded of a video that I saw a few years ago, and it was a video of they were filming what God was doing around the world. There was a number of them went around, and they were filming what God was doing around the world, and one of them was filming on a beach in America. And they were filming some people who were praying in different ways for different people. And as they were doing that, over towards one side, they realized there was a whole lot of people on the street preaching about Jesus. They were kind of like going for it, full on, full volume, and that kind of stuff. So they thought, oh, we'll go over and talk to them. So they went over to talk to them. And as they started to talk to them, they were asking them what they were doing and all this kind of thing. It was pretty obvious what they were doing, but they were asking them what they were doing. And so this chatted, and they were basically saying, we need to tell people. We need to stand out and tell people about Jesus. And they were like, that's really good. How long have you been doing it for? Oh, not very long. Not very long. We've not been doing it for very long. Oh, and have you seen some people come to faith yet? And they're like, well, no, not yet. We've not really been doing it very long. Or this person I'm particularly talking to, they're like, no, I've not really been doing it for very long. So I've not really seen anybody yet. And they said, oh, how long have you been doing it for? He said, oh, 12 years. And they're like, okay, you've not been doing it for long. He said, yeah. The guy over there has been doing it for 30 years. And they're like, oh, okay, you've been doing it for 30. Let's go and talk to him. So they went to talk to him. And they said, I chatted to him and said, so how many people have you seen kind of find out about Jesus and come to faith? Oh, none. But sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that. There was a guy in Bath last week. And he was the most gracious, beautiful street preacher I've ever heard. I was walking past and thinking, I would give my life to the Lord right now and here, just listening to the way that he spoke. So it's not wrong, but sometimes our view of what it means to stand out, in our heads we kind of think that's what we've got to be. We've got to be someone who stands on street corners or stands in places of work or stands wherever and goes, God is good and I've got to shout it at everybody. But let's come back to the question, what does it mean to stand out for Jesus? What will it look like for us to stand out and be him in different places? Catherine.
So if you have a church Bible, we're on page 1175. And if you don't, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then from verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Fantastic. So, this passage in Ephesians, and it's chapter 4, and chapters 1 to 3 have given us a understanding of all that God has done. And this first bit of it just reminds us that we're all one, that we're all equal in his sight. And whatever we do, however we stand out for him, it's not about earning anything. It's not about getting extra bonus points. It's not even about trying to get into heaven. That's all fixed, all done, all sorted. It's a consequence and response to what God has done. But it goes on in verse 7. And I'd encourage you to grab a Bible if you've got one, or to open it on your tablets or wherever, because we're going to journey through Acts and it might be helpful to see it. So I'd get one so you can see where we're going. But it goes on to say, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave. And if you're in the Bible, you'll see that we've jumped a little section of that. And really the reason I've jumped that is because I want us to hear this passage in a context that takes out a slight diversion in the passage. A slight diversion that gives us some extra information, but at the same time can cause a little bit of confusion. And so Paul, in writing this, wants to explain where these gifts is coming from. It talks about grace has been given as Christ apportioned. A gift of grace has been given to each one of us as Christ apportioned it. He then explains where that's come from and references some psalm. And then in that psalm, it talks about ascending and descending. So he tries to explain ascending and descending. But if we take all of that out, then we end up with this. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. There is something about these gifts that as we understand them and as we see them worked out in our lives, that shape the way that we stand out, that shape the way that we are, have been made by God to stand out. And each one of those is different. Each one is different. And so we're reminded again that the way that we stand out is going to be different for different people. So let's think about these five different gifts that Ephesians talks about. Just give you a quick, brief understanding of what each of them might look like. And then have a look through Acts at how we see it being worked out in the story of Acts. So he gave the apostles, and now we know about the apostles, the 12 apostles, the 12 first disciples. We've got them, 12 apostles, capital A. But apostles, as we'll see through Acts, continue to reemerge. And there is a distinct difference. There are the 12 apostles that Jesus called to follow him, that we call apostles and disciples. But there is a role that is an apostolic role that some of us have been given. To put simply, it's people who have been sent to make new ground, to take new ground, to look for new opportunities. In today's world, we might call them entrepreneurs. People who are excited about new possibilities. Where are there opportunities for the kingdom to come? Where is the things happening? These are the apostles. The prophets. Those who listen to God and speak it out. Whether it's one-to-one and whether it's on a community level or a national level or an international level. But they're those who listen to God and speak it out. The evangelists, the prophets, for some reason, end up kind of connecting in quite with creative ways of doing that. So often our prophets are quite musical or artistic or creative in other different ways. Evangelists, those who share good news. That's where we kind of think, well, we should all do this, shouldn't we? We should all share good news. Well, yes, but some people are gifted at it. And others people learn from those who are gifted at it. Sometimes our evangelists are not necessarily people who are sharing good news of Jesus. Sometimes they're the people who, when they hear a new idea, are the ones that will tell everyone about it. Often they're the people who perhaps walk the streets trying to sell the best new idea that's coming along at the moment. They're the ones that get it first and are telling everyone how amazing it is. But we need to be, those who are called to be evangelists, are speakers of good news. The pastors, or another word that could be used is shepherds. Those who care for people are looking out for the needs of others and the people who naturally build community. And teachers, those who love to teach, love to share the new thing that they've got from scripture or from wherever else and just want people to understand. These are the things that excite us. Even at this point, do you sit and listen to those and think, oh, as you've described that, one of those kind of makes me think, actually that's the thing that excites me most. But what we want to do is look at the effects of this being worked out. What does it look like for these different gifts to stand out? And so we're going to go to Acts. And what I want to do is to, we can go through lots of different things in Acts, but I want to go to those people in Acts that are not the 12 apostles, but are expressing and seeing something of that in their lives. So we're going to go to Acts. Where are we going to go to first? We're going to go to Acts 6. So if you've got your Bibles, have a look. We're going to whip through, about 10 or so different people. So in Acts 6, we see the choosing of the seven. So they're having, the apostles are getting caught up in trying to look after a whole load of widows, and there's a whole argument, and they get wisdom, and they decide to appoint seven to do that. And we see there in chapter 5 that the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Parcorius, I'm not going to go through all the names. I've read ahead of them. Those names chose the seven who were called Philip and Stephen, which are the two we're going to look at, and give them that job. But then, straight away, Stephen, a man full of faith, this is verse 8, a man full of God's grace and power, performed good, great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose. And we read on and discover that the issue that they have with Stephen is that he keeps on trying to explain to people how all of this is working. Who Jesus was in the context of all that they knew of the Old Testament. He wanted them to understand the scriptures. He's then brought before the high priest. And he says, are these charges true? Have you been undermining the total understanding of the Old Testament and trying to warp it into this some idea of a Messiah called Jesus? And Stephen replies, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he went on to explain how all of it was prepared and all of it was planned to that point. It goes on all the way through chapter 7, explaining it all. It's the only bit we know about Stephen, because at the end of it, he gets stoned. But that sounds like the role of a teacher to me. Wanting to unpack and explain these scriptures so that they got who Jesus was. We then jump to chapter 8. And we pick up Philip, who is one of the other seven. Philip, we know, is commonly known Philip the Evangelist. And we have three stories here in the context of a church being persecuted. We have three stories of Philip in Samaria proclaiming the good news. And we see there that as he steps out into his role as an evangelist, that he has power with him. When we step out, God's power follows. When we step out into the things he's called us to do, his power is with us. He then talks to Simon the sorcerer and brings about faith. He then meets up with the Ethiopian in verse 26. And again, hears him speak, reading from the book of Isaiah, shares it in a way that brings the Ethiopian to faith. And then the best gift of all, he disappears and appears somewhere else. How cool will that be if we could do that? Philip the evangelist, stepping out into who he'd been called to be and standing out for God's kingdom. Chapter 9, we meet Saul, who would later be called Paul, an apostle, looking for new opportunities, planting churches wherever he went. Went obvious. Almost all of the churches he planted were planted in the most obvious places that he thought they're the most strategic places to go to plant churches. The one time he tried to do it, and it wasn't right, he got a dream. The dream of Macedonia. That said, don't go there instead. But he just planted churches wherever he wanted. New opportunities. An apostle stepping out, seeing the opportunities of the kingdom, and starting new things. Chapter 9, verse 10. Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, Jesus, Lord, answered. He answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying in a vision. We read earlier that Ananias was someone who loved God, was open to hearing God speak, responded to God's call, and did what he was told to do. I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest and all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is a chosen instrument. He was instrumental in bringing about Saul to become Paul and to release that apostle into all that he'd been called to do. Someone listening to God, being open to what he has to say, and responding. 9:36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, and so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. And we read on that that she was healed, raised from the dead, and got back on with the job that she was given to do. Always doing good and helping the poor. Cared and looked after. Acts 10. Cornelius. Again, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God. One day, in about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him. What is it, Lord? He asked. The image and the picture that he had was instrumental in bringing about the release of the kingdom of God into the Gentile world. That the church that was established in Jerusalem, understanding what was going on and seeing that the kingdom was for more. Acts 11:28. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of those, named Agabus, stood up, and there the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each of them was able, decided to provide help for the brothers. A prophet speaking out the things that they had been given and bringing about a change in that place. We come on to Acts 12, where we meet John Mark, who would write Mark's Gospel, again known as an evangelist. We don't hear much about him in Acts. To start off with, he journeys with Paul and Barnabas. But we know later that he would be known as Mark the Evangelist, who would speak out God's good news. Acts 13, verse 1, it says, now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, and goes through a list of names, people living out their call. Acts 14:14. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted. Where am I going? Hang on. But when the apostles, 14, I can't even read my own numbers. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes. So again, another apostle calling out and doing the things of God. He first appears in Acts 11. Acts 15:32, we have Judas and Silas recognized as prophets. Acts 16, Timothy, an apostle of Christ. Acts 16, Lydia, a cloth seller who seemed to be running her own business. Totally unheard of in that world. Someone stepping out. Was she an apostle? We don't know enough about her. But there was something about her that broke out of the norm and stood up and brought about God's kingdom. Acts 21, verse 9, talks about Philip, who we've met already, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied, the daughters of Philip, operating and prophesying for God. We could continue through. Each of these people standing out for God, but with a unique voice, not the same. So what does it look like for us? What does it look like for us to stand out? We're not all called to the apostolic. We're not all called to the prophetic. We're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be teachers. But we can learn from each other how to do that better. But standing out looks different. But we stand out when we step into all that God has for us. All that it looks like. All that it's worked out to be. And as we said, we work it out in community. All of these were working it out in the context of the community that was being formed through the power of the Holy Spirit working. A supernatural community that recognized the gifts in people and released them into all that they were meant to be. So what does it look like to stand out? It looks like stepping out into all that God's given us to do. Wherever we are, whatever it looks like. But perhaps one of these voices, the voice of the apostolic, the voice of the prophet, the voice of the evangelist, the pastor and the teacher, is a helpful voice that reminds us and helps us to see how God has made you. That the gift that he has given you enables you to step out. So I'd love us to take some time, because these are gifts from God. We don't get to choose. We don't kind of go, I like the sound of that one. It's God's gifts given to us. And so I'd love to give us space and time just to pray. As you've heard those descriptions of those different roles, those different voices, perhaps one resonates with you. Perhaps that's the way that God's made me. As it resonates, talk to others. Do they see that too? So let me just read those descriptions again and allow the Holy Spirit. If you come away and you think, I have no idea. No idea. No idea what you've been talking about, Neil, for the last however long. Don't worry. But I think for some tonight, there was a picture that we had as we prayed earlier, just that sense of people in prison and being released to go out. And I think there's a sense in some of that that it's about as we understand who we are, how God has made us, how he's gifted us, that is allowing us to step out into who he's called us to be. So are you someone who gets excited about new things, new opportunities? Or are you someone who's excited about listening to God, hearing his voice and sharing it with others? Are you someone who gets excited about good news? Are you someone who loves to care for people, get around people, encourage them, create and build community? Or are you someone who loves to help people understand, to teach, to explain, to unpack? Is that the way that God's made you? So let's just take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit. So I'd love us to pray for each other. For some of us, there's going to be a sense of praying, a sense of release into this, into the thing, the gift that God's given you. For others, it may be just, we just need to pray and just say, God, just help me to see over this next, in the conversations through my community, help me to see how it is that you've made me to stand out. But just as we respond, just I'd just love to get a kind of a sense of where things are landing in the room at the moment in terms of anybody, just give me a wave, if any sense of the kind of the apostolic, kind of are excited about new things, new opportunities, things going on now. Cool. Few in the room. For anyone, that sense of you're someone who just loves listening to the voice of the Lord and sharing it and passing that around. Cool. Few of them too. Great. Evangelists, love to share good news, love to share God's good news. Yeah. There's a few hands going up and I'm going, yep. shepherds, people who care, who like to build community. Cool. And teachers, you may be in the teaching profession or it may be just that actually you just got a love of teaching and love to understand and explain to different people. So teachers. Great. Fantastic. Okay. So there's lots of people who were kind of like, I'm not sure. It might be that you've not ever thought about this. You're just not sure. And as I say, this is something that you begin to work out. It's a process we're going through. We've been doing some work with some of our small community leaders on this as well. But it's something that is just a really helpful tool of thinking about how it is that we stand out. So I'd love us to pray. So what I'm going to get us to do is to get into groups of twos and threes. If you're happy to share with somebody, go with people that you kind of know you're happy to pray with. Look around you, make sure there's no one kind of isolated or kind of on an end of a row. And as you've all turned one way, they're kind of, so make sure everyone's drawn into a group. Have a little chat. If there is a sense of one of those that is for you and you just want someone to pray for that for you. But let's pray for each other. Asking that we might know God's gift for us, that the way in which we stand out for him. And then we'll get the band back up and we'll worship for a bit.